Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, and for me this is a special treat because whenever I go to the Cape, I try to visit one farm in particular. For the food, for the wine, for the ambience, it's Warwick. I remember I first went to Warwick many, many years ago when I was living overseas. And in those days, they didn't have an elaborate tasting room. They had what looked a bit like a barn with a very charming chap in there who poured me a few wines and sent me on my way. I subsequently learnt that he is Mike Ratcliffe, who currently runs the property. But of course, his mother, Norma, is one of the giants of Cape wine. And we're delighted to have her daughter and Mike's sister with us today. But before we go into the guests, we have to whiz down to Cape Town just to say hi and welcome to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, hello.
John, hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. And thank you for once again coming up with a wine that I think I have a suspicion we may enjoy, if only because I drank quite a lot of it at Warwick's expense when I last went to one of those wine exhibitions in Joburg. As we have alluded to, for the third week in a row, I think we have Jenny Ratcliffe Wright, who is not only part of the Warwick dynasty, but has other credentials in the world of wine, a Cape wine master. And believe me, it's not easy to become a Cape wine master because I offered someone R100 and they wouldn't give me the certificate. Jeremy Sampson is our second guest. Jeremy, as regular listeners to this podcast will know, is a regular gatecrasher into the podcasts, but we always make him welcome because he's a lovely chap, really. And talking of lovely chaps, we have Malcolm McDonald, who is not only our technical guru on these podcasts, making sure that you will be able to understand a little bit of what I say after a few bottles of wine, but he is also somebody with a pretty impressive palate, and I know he likes his red wine, and I hope he will like this one. Michael, it is a Warwick trilogy. I think it's one of the flagship wines. I know they're... Well, they do all sorts of other stuff. I'm trying to think of the one with the green label.
Cabernet Franc,
that's it. I think that's certainly one of the more impressive ones. And I know that at a recent wine auction for charity, one of their wines sold for 1.3 million rand, which is what I normally pay for a bottle. Michael Olivier, tell us about Trilogy.
Well, this is the 2012 vintage, and it's a wine that I'm hugely emotionally attached to, simply because I've known the family for such a long time. I knew Jenny's grandparents very well. And of course, Norma, her mother, who's such a legend in the wine industry in the Cape. And Norma tells a lovely story of having to go to Bordeaux to go and make wine there in the sort of mid-1980s, and she arrived there, and the New Zealand lady winemaker had broken her leg just before Norma arrived, so Norma had to make the wines that vintage. So she certainly learned from the best, and she's, I think, produced an absolutely stunning wine here. One of the things that I really like about the Warwick wines is that they're very definite in terms of their colour. If you've got a red wine, it's absolutely a red wine. It's totally opaque. It's like a Satsuma plum in the middle, and then pales out to this lovely sort of ruby garnet around the edges. And you get your nose in the glass, and there's just this absolute wave of wonderful fruit, black currants, and then there's nice dark black Morello cherries, and ripe prune plums, not dried ones, but fresh ripe dried prune plums. And then, of course, this just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful oak, which is there making its presence felt, but really supporting the brilliant fruit. It has had 26 months in 225-litre French oak barrels, of which about 60% were new. This is a wine that would be great with the Sunday lunch, the roast lunch with the crispy potatoes and the real gravy. But It would do really as well with a really nice vegetarian sort of mushroomy, aubergine-y, tomato-y kind of dish with some Parmesan baked on top. For me, this is also a wine when you've had dinner and you go and the evening is sort of winding down, this is the bottle of wine that you open. It's a truly, truly great wine.
Well, I don't have a lot to say about this, Michael. Class in a glass. Absolutely. I'm really enjoying it. I would drink it a lot more often if somebody would lend me the cash. Jenny, you've listened to what Michael has to say about your family wines and your family. Tell us anything else we need to know about Warwick Trilogy or Warwick.
Well, first of all, thank you, Michael, for those beautiful words about the wine. It really is special. It's also wine that, to me and to many people, it's like having a glass of Trilogy is like coming home. It's comforting. It's known. And even though the vintages have changed so much over the years and the style of winemaking has changed so much over the years to keep up with modern trends, it still seems to taste the same. I tasted our first vintage the other day, the 1986, and it was absolutely beautiful. So our first official vintage at Warwick was the 1985. That was 100% Cabernet, and the 1986 was a Trilogy, the Bordeaux blend. And it is in perfect nick. It's just beautiful. It's not the grand old lady. It's in perfect nick. It had wonderful acidity. The oak is still present. Everything is there. Obviously, the fruit has gone slightly secondary, but the wine is just beautiful. And why I particularly wanted to talk about this wine today is that 2016 is our 30th vintage. We're drinking the 2012 now, but 2016 is busy being picked as we speak. There's a bit of rain in Cape Town and Stellenbosch today, so it's not being picked. But Monday and Tuesday, some of the Cabernet will be picked and some of the Merlot. So to have 30 vintages to be able to taste back on, and we all keep these in our wine library, I think that is one of the things that makes a great wine. There's many, many wines that can be produced as a one-off, but to make 30 years of a great wine, I feel is very exciting.
Well, from your 30th dynasty to somebody whose 30th anniversary was sometime after the Great War, I think, wasn't it, Jeremy Stinson?
Who are we talking about, John?
You.
Well, I have to admit,
We can talk about the wine, ignore my bad jokes.
I was going to talk about the Warwick Estate, because if you're not a member of the Warwick Wine Club, you need to be. I have to say that I was notified of my quarterly order yesterday coming through, and it's a lovely place to go to. So it's not just the wine tasting, they're sitting out under the trees, lovely picnic place, lovely for the children, and what's been done down there is fantastic. But I couldn't agree more. Warwick, to me, is one of those solid but very exciting wines, consistent. I think the way it's been labelled, often using the name of various ladies, whether it's Cape Lady, White Lady, whatever, is also a sort of a secondary kind of branding, which adds to the consistency. And certainly, I think Mike is doing a fantastic job marketing not just Warwick, but also South African wine. And you look at the auction that was held a few weeks ago where he was a main player. It's fantastic to see the wine industry, the South African wine industry, doing so much and giving back so much to society. And the wine's not bad at all, John.
And of course, Jeremy, you've neglected to mention they've done a special brewing for Stellenbosch University, the Black Lady. Or is it purple? I don't know. I shall shut up. Malcolm McDonald.
Yes, you do. yeah, as I took the first sip of this, it was like, oh yeah, that's what a great red is. It's just sort of like coming back to the classic great red wine. So I was sort of reminded on the first sip that this is what it should be like, and it's got everything it should have. It's deep, rich, and easy to drink.
And Michael Oliphir, obviously you can't drink bottle after bottle after bottle without lining your stomach with something. This is a very elegant wine. Do you need to have a gastronomic meal with it, or might it be as much fun going to the Warwick Estate, sitting under the trees or umbrellas or whatever, and having a nice picnic basket?
Absolutely. I more and more now believe that the sort of the midweek supper-ish, you can open a really fabulous wine for that. You don't have to do it with the Sunday roast and the haunch of beef and the leg of lamb, etc. I think that a truly great wine like this goes with really simple, elegant, well-cooked food.
And Jenny, just remind us, I know Jeremy alluded to this, a visitor not only to Warwick but to many estates in the Cape Winelands these days has more than just a tasting on offer. I know you do picnic lunches, you have a not quite a tapas menu. One of your staff abused me for asking for tapas, whereas all I was asking for was a few separate dishes on a big plate. But lovely cheese, hams, pickles, all sorts of good stuff. How important is that in attracting people onto the estate and then using their presence as a way of getting them to become lifelong friends through things like the Warwick Wine Club?
Well, drinking wine together creates friendships, cements friendships, and generally makes people happy. And that creates good memories. And with those memories, you take them with you wherever. And if you're in a space where you're not quite feeling great, it's a Monday, it's been a disastrous day, and you want that happiness back again of last Sunday, you open a bottle of wine and strangely, it brings that happiness back. So that's what's so wonderful about having people at the farm, for them to experience simple farm life, drinking great wine and eating high quality but simple food.
End of advert. Okay. And just one other thing, Jenny, while we've got you here, it may look a bit like a corkscrew from a distance on your label, but it's a special little cup. I know you can buy replicas, you can play with them if you come to the tasting room. Just briefly tell us about the Warwick cup.
I'll give you the brief story, but it is essentially a marriage cup, and it's a cup where two people can drink out of it at the same time. And so it's a lady holding her arms up, and her skirt is the cup. And the cup that she's holding is also a cup, and it swivels. And so the man is supposed to drink out of the skirt, and the woman's supposed to drink out of the cup. When they do that, it's supposed to seal their marriage vows. And there's beautiful legends that go with it. We've dated it back to the 1600s in Franconia in Germany. And people now send us these cups from all over the world as memorabilia. They inherit them from grannies, and we've got a wonderful collection that's growing.
Michael, do you spend much time drinking wine from ladies' skirts?
Not often, shoes usually, yeah.
Excellent, as long as they haven't been hiking in them, I hope. But obviously, it strikes me as a bit strange, Michael, that anyone would want to share their wine, particularly if it's a trilogy. I'd far rather just have two straws rather than a weird cup.
Yeah, I mean, it really is an extraordinary special wine.
Well, I'm afraid we are trundling towards the end of this discussion, but before we do, a final word from Michael McDonald.
Well, I was just really pleased to have that sip of this and say, oh, okay, I need to get back to my classic reds. This is really good stuff. And as you said, it's the sip probably brought back all those good memories of when I shared good wine with good friends. So, yeah, to everyone, buy a bottle of this and enjoy.
Jeremy?
John, I just want to end on talking about the branding side of things, because just as so many wine estates, I think, get it wrong by moving around all the time and trying lots and lots of different things without consistency, Warwick has been consistent. You know, the look of the labels, the look of the wines, the consistency of the quality, the simplicity, it just oozes integrity. And so many people get this wrong. Whereas Warwick, I think, is a good example of getting it consistently right and maintaining it. Some people say, oh, isn't it boring to do the same thing? Well, it's not quite the same thing, but it's certainly not boring. And the wine, as we found today, is totally exciting.
Well, at least nobody's ever accused me of oozing integrity, Jeremy. Thank you, Michael Olivier, once again for sourcing, I suppose, one of the Cape first growths, we can call it that. In line with the French appellations and ranking system. Hopefully you'll be back with us soon with something interesting and delightful.
Absolutely.
Again. Jenny Ratcliffe-Wright, thank you very much indeed for bringing one of your family's house wines along for us to try today. A great pleasure, and a great pleasure seeing you again.
Thank you.
Jeremy Sampson, always a pleasure seeing you.
And mine, John, thank you.
You must intrude more often. And last but not least, we have Malcolm MacDonald, who is not only a palate in his own right, but will make sure that one day you will listen to this podcast and won't say, couldn't hear a word.
Thanks, John, a great pleasure.
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.